Off back this way. You enjoy that? It is beautiful. And as we gather today to worship our God, you know, as we sing praises, thank you, choir, thank you, Diane, Tim, and Tom. What a blessing it is. We are truly blessed. And I want to thank Michael last week for filling in for me and sharing the gospel message with you. As Karen and I enjoyed our time with our daughter and 3.5-year-old granddaughter, she can keep you busy. And thoroughly enjoyed it. What a wonderful time we had, and we're so very thankful for those moments. As you spend time with family, it's important. And as you invest that time and share life together, it's important. My prayer is, folks, that we share life together here as a church body and church family, that we're so attractive by the fellowship that we have with one another and the love that we have knit together in love for one another, that we'll be attractive to those who don't know the hope that's only found in Jesus Christ. Because whether you believe it or not, there's a lot of dysfunction in our world today, would you say? Even back in our baby boomer days, some of our younger generation, you won't relate to this probably unless you've been on TV land or something of that nature. But subtly, throughout our generation, we have watched and even sometimes memorized things that was subtly, that we really didn't think of it. We just thought that was funny and that was good and all that. I'll explain to you about a dysfunctional family. And if you know this, you can join in with me if that's okay. Come and listen to a story about a man named Jed, a poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. Then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground came a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, Jed's a millionaire. Ken folks said? Said, California's place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck in the hills, that is, swimming pools and movie stars. Well, now it's time to say goodbye to Jed and all his kin. They would like to thank you folks for kindly... Y'all are invited back next week to this locality to have a heaping helping of their hillbilly, that is. Set a spell. Take your shoes off. Y'all come back now. See? You could have did all that if I just told you a man named Jed, right? But have you ever thought about how dysfunctional this family was? I mean, Jed and Granny and Jethro and Ellie Mae, they were all kin, but how were they kin? You ever thought about that? And this is all physical because they want $1 million in oil or whatever, and they need to change their lifestyle. Huh. Well, let me ask you this morning. At what point did Jed become a millionaire? When he struck oil or when he purchased the farm? Now, if you've got an outline, it was beside the bulletin. If you've got an outline, you can respond to that because there's some here and there's some in the back. If you want, you can get up and get one now. But there's an outline of today's message there for you. At what point did Jed become a millionaire? When he struck oil or when he purchased the farm? And there Christie is, doing her servant duty. in that song. And I'd much rather you take into heart and take into memory that victory song. Not the physical victory song or somebody won $1 million, but see how we can remember things that's been locked in our minds for such a long time that it recalls. But when we started playing the victory in Jesus, many of you pulled in and sung that song too. And that song right there is more important than any other song that you'll ever memorize. The scripture itself is more important than any words of man or anything that's ever been scripted. So I challenge you and encourage you so strongly to get into God's word, not just to read it, not just to know it, but to study it and look deeply and dive into that word. As we look at Colossians 2 this morning, Colossians 2, verses 1 through 5. Paul's in prison and he's hearing about the Colossian people as well as the people at Laodicea. And his heart is in it. And I want you to notice something in verse 1. Paul's writing, inspired by God, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you." I want you to look at the word "for." And as you study that word and you look at that word "for," why did he say that? You knew great conflict that I have for you. Not conflict with you or at you. So it's not an angry kind of a statement. It's my heart yearns, my heart desires for you. And for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the fullness or the full assurance and understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and to the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joy and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Father in heaven, as we humbly come before you this morning, God, as we navigate this journey together, studying your word, meditating on your word, memorizing your word, and understanding the riches that are hidden as we search you and seek you first with all of our heart, soul, and mind. God, I pray that today, my Christian brothers and sisters, that you will challenge them, not by my words, but by yours, to be more inspired, encouraged, and comforted, and to dive into your word and to know those things that you have in store. For those that don't know you, Lord, in a confusing, complex world, make things simple this morning, that if they will believe in you and what you did upon the cross and confess you as Lord and Savior, that God, today they'll be saved, and that this day, Lord, their lives will be forever changed. As for all of us, Lord, both watching, listening, and present, I pray that we all will be changed today, that you change us. The Holy Spirit convicts us and comforts us and entices us to know you better this very day. Do a work, Lord, that nobody else could be doing except you. We pray that in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, in chapter 2, the Bible says, "The natural man knoweth not the things of God, for it is spiritually discerned, and can't understand them, their foolishness unto them." And so as you know, the natural man, the one who's lost without Christ, they don't understand. But the Spirit of God that draws you to salvation and you accept Christ, then you begin to understand the treasures that's hidden in the Scriptures and that personal relationship with God as you journey on. And it is my desire that each of you will learn and be challenged to draw closer to God and closer to His Word, not just to read it, but to apply it to your life and understand and listen and just see what God can do. Because I believe that each one of us, including myself, that this morning have not really discovered all the things that God has for us yet. And we're missing it if we're not in God's Word and we're not in relationship with Him on a daily basis. Tony Evans said this: when you come to faith in Jesus Christ as your personal sin bearer, the moment you came to faith, you are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessings. So why in the world would you want to live like the world and be spiritually poor or weak or defeated in our lives? Do you not know what you have? I don't think we all do. I think we go through the daily rituals of life and I don't think we realize what we really have in Christ Jesus. Lost people are searching for all the physical treasures and fulfillment of life, and sometimes that draws us to think, well, I'd like to have what they have or like to live like they live. But if you have Christ living in you, you have that life that you're going to live for eternity with Him and have the promise and the presence of God with you always. Every Christian should be deeply into God's Word. Even Christians, we get lured into enticing words and gimmicks. God helps those who help themselves. You've ever heard that said? Huh. It's not true. Is it in the Bible? God helps those who help themselves. It's not in God's Word. We've been enticed by a lot of things throughout our journey that's false, and we believe it. God helps those who help themselves. I'm sure you've heard it and possibly even said it to encourage someone or pull themselves up by the bootstraps and to get things done or motivate them maybe. But the verse is not in the Bible. Its premises is not true. To the contrary, God, listen to me, God helps those who admit they can't help themselves. When I come to the end of myself and say, God, I can't, you can. You always said you would. And by faith, I'm going to let you. And we have to take our hands off of it and say, God, it's up to you. I'm going to listen to you, God, and ask you to do in my life and for my prayer life what I cannot do for myself. You see, that turns over the controls to Him. That allows Him to be Lord, not you. You see how that works? We need that personal relationship with God to have the wisdom and understanding that is written to the Colossae people here. We need to have that personal relationship with God to have the understanding and the wisdom that only He can give us. But sometimes I think we get locked up into this, I can do this, or I just got to pull my bootstraps up, when you really need the Holy Spirit of God to move in and through your life. To tell you, because sometimes we honestly don't know whether I should say something or not say something, whether I should do something or not do something. And the Holy Spirit of God, if you're listening and you're in personal relationship with God and in His Word, you will identify with what the Spirit of God's trying to get you to do or trying to get you to say. But sometimes I think we don't realize that. Paul's saying here, I have conflict for you. I desire deeply for you. I want the best for you. If I was to ask you this morning, those grandparents and parents here this morning, have you ever thought it or said it out loud, I really want a better life for my children or better life for my grandchildren? Then we need to do something. And sometimes I think as we're doing something, we try it out of might. We do have desires. As well as church family, we have desires. We know what people are going through, and we hurt, and we struggle with what's going on in their lives as well. And so what is it that we're supposed to do? I believe God's Word has those answers for you and I, because I want you to experience the life God has for you and to seize the opportunity in a troubled culture to look to God's Word for hope and for joy and comfort and life fulfilled. And in God's Word, it has that. So many times I think we want to listen to enticing words of people, motivating words of a people or encouragement of people, and that's all fine and good. But God's Word should be the dominant word in our life. God's Word is the one that's the most powerful. He says it will not return void. So God's Word is more important than all these other things. When you search for the treasures and the pleasures of this world, you're only going to find artificial, short-lived satisfaction. I want to say that again because I want it to resonate in our lives. When you search for, anybody else searches for, treasures and pleasures of this world, you're only going to find artificial, short-lived satisfaction. When an alcoholic gets to the end of the bottle, he says, I'm done, I'm satisfied, right? And there's many others that are the same that this world has that entices. There's many distractions about how to fix this culture today. We should work, yes. We should be good stewards. We should set goals. We should take care of what we have. But I believe our ABCs are indicators of our motives and our condition. And when I say the ABCs are the indicators and the motivators, the ABCs is our attitude, our behavior, and our conversations. Our attitude, our behaviors, and our conversations are indicators of our motives and our heart conditions. I'll give you an example. You ever hear anybody say, when I make my first $1 million, I'll be happy? Will they really? I've heard people that had millions of dollars say, if I get my next $1 million. So you see how the world doesn't satisfy? All that is bondage. Some people will say, oh, when I win the lottery, I'll be, you fill in the blank. When I meet that right person, or I get that right job. You see, all that's bondage. And not understanding the riches and the treasures as a child of God that you have. You ever hear leaders say something like this? We don't have any more time. We must act now. They're talking about something else. But they're correct when they say that. We don't have any more time. We must act now. And that's true. We should act now. But they don't have the correct answer. They'll say that because their agenda is global warming, climate change, spend more money. Let the government help you. Whatever feels right to you. Whatever you feel like should be the right thing to do. If it feels good, do it. Yes, we must act quickly. There is a global warning. Hello? A global warning. I didn't say global warming. I said global warning. If you read the Bible, you'll understand how this is playing itself out as to God's Word, because in Revelation it tells us what's to come. And so if you read God's Word, you'll see that the paper in which the Bible is written on is showing us what's coming our way. So there is a global warning, and there needs to be a climate change. People need to spend more time in God's Word. People need to be knit together in love. leaning on God and acknowledging Him as the only one who is sovereign. He is the only one that's sovereign. There's a global warning. There needs to be a climate change. And that's not a left-wing, red, blue, or whatever culture. It's a climate change of the heart. That we acknowledge who God is. We know who is the sovereign God. That we acknowledge who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Who has the one that we'll stand before and give an account for everything that we've done on this side of this earth. Each one of us will stand and give an account. We must act now. When you search deeply in God's Word looking for the truth, you will find comfort, you will find wisdom, and you will find everlasting satisfaction and real life that's only found in a personal relationship with our God that loves you deeply, that desires for you deeply to get to know Him and understand His treasures, His wisdom, His understanding that He has for you, to begin to experience those things as a person and as a family and as a church family. God's Word is a treasure book, and we need to go deeply into the knowledge and understanding and even memorize. How many people have said, "I can't memorize no more"? Well, you just sung me that Beverly Hillbilly song a minute ago. And I bet it wasn't last week that you watched them. Hello. But then I'll give you credit because you did sing Victory in Jesus. And we didn't sing that this morning. Turn to those things that are more important. As you dive into God's Word, allow it to encourage you. And just keep getting into God's Word. Many of us have family members that you desire much better lives and what they're experiencing right now. Many of us have family members that we want them to get closer to God. You want them to come to church. You want them to be active in serving God and experiencing what God has for them, but also to use the gifts and the talents that they have to be actively searching God. Here's what you need to do. You need to dive deeper in God's Word. And allow the Holy Spirit to encourage you. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit of God will direct you as to what to say and what to do with those family members. But also, God will begin to change and transform your life so that they will recognize it and see it. While we were with our granddaughter, one of the things I observed with Kaylee is that if one kid did something, she would go try to replicate it. She would go try it too. And if Kaylee got into something that she wasn't supposed to, or did something, you know, like jump off this or get into that, and she did it first, guess what the other kids would do? They'd do the same thing. We do that as adults, don't we? Let them see how important God's Word is in your life. Let them see how valuable God's Word and the relationship with God is in your life. And allow God to transform you so that they can see the change and desire what you have. Anybody with me this morning? This will just turn over the Holy Spirit of God to do in your life and to begin changing in their life as well. A man over a great company, he had built this great company and had a lot of people working for him. And he told his employees, he said, "I'm going to go away for a little while, but I'm going to leave you all the instructions that you need to continue. I will send you daily emails about what you need to do and to check up on you, and I'll send you daily emails that tells you what you need to do for the company." Well, then in about a month when he returned to the company, he returned to a wrecked, dysfunctional, messed up company. So when he got all of his employees back together, he said, "Well, did you not read my instructions?" They said, "Oh yes, we read them all." "Well, did you not know what your job was?" "Oh yes, we knew very well what our jobs were." "Did you not receive the emails?" "Oh yes, we received your emails and we even memorized some of them." "Well then what happened?" You know the rest of the story. They read the instructions. They read the emails and even memorized them. But there was one missing element. They didn't do the instructions. They didn't comply with what he had in mind for them to do. Do you see how that relates to us today? How long, folks, have we tried things on our own and said, "God, I just don't know what else to do"? Has anybody in here ever said that before? "God, I've prayed, I've tried. God, I just don't know what else to do." If you continue to do what you've always done, you're going to get the same results you've always got. I believe God's trying to get us in position this morning to do something in and of our lives that we cannot do for ourselves, and allow Him to be Lord, and let us get our relationship stronger and deeper in His Word, listening and obeying. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. The parable that I'm fixing to read is so valuable that people were willing to sacrifice everything. When Jesus spoke, Matthew 13, verse 44, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to the treasure hidden in the field, the which when a man hath found, he giveth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Jesus Christ gave all that he could, all that he had for you and I, so that we can have the riches of our salvation in eternal heaven awaiting, and have a personal relationship with him. Are you willing to place your faith, total faith and assurance in him, forsaking all and trusting him? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, it says, "For where your heart is, there will your treasure, will your heart be also." Where your heart is, there will your heart be also. In Proverbs chapter 10, he talks about the treasures of wickedness that profited nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. So you and I can read, we can study, we can memorize God's word. But it's beyond, listen, just, it's way beyond just information, folks. It's about transformation. It's about transformation. You can know it, you can memorize it, you can study it, you can do all these things, but it's more about transformation than it is information. Your view of Jesus Christ will impact every area of your life. Your view of Jesus Christ will impact every area of your life. Your spending time in God's Word will penetrate your life to transform and impact your relationship with God, and it will also impact others. To experience that hope in Christ, that truth of God's Word, that victory in Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit working in and of your life. The question is this morning, to all of us. Are you all in? Are you all in? Deep desire to dive into God's Word and renew your research and search to change and transform your life. Some people, it's a fascinating world today. It really is. I've heard this, and maybe you have too. I don't want to pick on anybody. And whether you take the vaccine or not, that's your personal choice. Whether you wear a mask or not, that's your choice. That's not where I'm going with this. But I've heard somebody say, I'm not taking that vaccine, I'm here to tell you, because it's a mark of the beast. They even went out and got a magnet, touched somebody with it, that got the vaccine. I ain't getting that daggum thing. It's a mark. It's a mark of the beast. Tell you how you can be enticed with wrong information. Go to the book of Revelation with me. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Looking at verse 16, this is talking about the beast of the earth. Beginning in verse 16, and he causeth all, this is being the beast, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Okay, you with me? Don't be enticed by false words. And by, furthermore, if somebody knows who the beast is and we're receiving the mark now, guess what? Every one of us listening, watching, and present here today, we have missed the rapture. I'm not for that, are you? I want to jump. With all our track and trace technologies, online commerce, and the rise of globalization, we can see the foreshocks of this happening. The Bible tells us that the Antichrist will establish global control through a cashless society. Quotes from Greg Laurie. But it's going to be something that you understand if you're left behind. That'll be a mark on your forehead or your right hand for the cashless society. But as for me and my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we ain't going to be here when this takes place. And my great desire is that if there's anyone here this very day listening, watching, or present, and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, and if this word of the day, nobody knows the hour of the day, if this were the very time, are you prepared to meet Christ face to face? Yes, we need to act immediately that our hearts would be comforted and pulled together in love and all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mysteries of God and of the Father and of Christ. Through God's Word, the Holy Spirit, today, you know what you need to do. How are you going to act upon it? How will you respond to what God's speaking to you about right now? God loves you deeply, but sin separates us from Him. For all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you're here without Christ and you're not prepared, you don't have peace with God, today the Holy Spirit drawing you, will you make that decision? God's calling you to do something right now. Will you do it? Maybe it's to allow God to transform your life because you've been doing things out of your own might, brothers and sisters. And today, would you commit to allow God to be the Lord of your life? Would you commit to go deeper in His Word to allow Him to help you to grow and to transform? So that your family members or your friends that you desire more for, they'll see it and experience it for themselves. God has a desire to move in our hearts. Right now there's a battle going on. And it's in our hearts this morning. What should I do? What should I do? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. The camera's been spanned off. So nobody's watching. You're here this morning. God is speaking to you. I'm sure He is. He's been speaking to me. I know He's here in presence. And the Holy Spirit's drawn right now to make a decision that's going to change radically your life. And possibly even those family members that you love and desire deeply for their lives to be following and serving Christ as well. This morning, this altar is open for you to come and pray. I'll be in front if there's some decision that you need to make. If you need to know Christ as your personal Savior and walk out here today knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that He is your Savior and Lord, and He will be awaiting your arrival for a place in heaven that He's prepared for you. Your decision, you've already done those things and you've not been baptized, and today's your day that you want to commit. Say, I want to place my commitment to follow through with baptism. Maybe God has you here today as a follower of Christ, that you have been saved and baptized, and you want to join on what God's doing at Rome Creek. This is your day. As Christy plays, listen to God and obey. Father in heaven, we commit this very time to you, that you'll be honored and glorified. As we search our hearts as to what you want us to do, thank you for what you're going to do in our lives and hearts and families. We pray that in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand and sing this invitation song with us as she plays? Take up thy cross and follow me, my Master said. I gave my life to ransom thee. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I wanted just to ask this morning, how many of you have family members and close friends that you spent time in prayer and say, God, I just don't know what else to do. I just don't know what else to do. Is that you? Could we just pray together? If you just slip your hand up and right back down, say, that's me. Several of you this morning. I just don't know what else to do. We're going to pause and pray. Almighty God, with the number of hands that's up that says, I just don't know what else to do. God, we're to end of ourselves. We need you, God, to tell us, to instruct us, to give us the knowledge and wisdom. Holy Spirit, help us to discern what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do. But God, help us on our part to dive into the riches and the treasures of your word and to get closer in relationship with you to the world. There's only satisfaction in you, Lord. You have all the answers. You don't want to hide anything from your children. So help us to seek you first. Search your ways and what you have. And God, help us to do something that's hard for us. And that's to wait. Wait and allow you to penetrate and move on the hearts of those that trouble our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in your family and in your church family and in our community. We look forward, God, to serving you with excitement and zeal, allowing the comfort of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you be seated for just a moment, please? It is our prayer that we begin to see God move in a mighty, powerful way. You have many opportunities in your bulletin. I pray that you'll pick one up. And if you didn't pick up an outline for this message today, I pray that you go ahead and pick it up on your way out. And if you need to fill in the blank answers, I'll give them to you, or somebody, I'm sure, will give them to you. Kickball meeting today at 4:30 for those interested in the kickball. 5 o'clock Billy Graham film. Dilwana, I understand, had 19. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. And I look forward to this week to see what's going on. You got the budget meeting on the 29th and church council on October 3rd. All kinds of opportunities. We do have some folks that are in our parking lot listening to us on 97.9 FM. So if you know other people that want to just come to the parking lot and listen to things online on 97.9 while they're out there in the parking lot, they'll bring a bulletin and a bag of Doritos and a Mountain Dew. Just kidding on the Mountain Dew and the Doritos. Anyway. So many opportunities that we have to share Christ in a troubled culture. So be in prayer for those things. Samaritan shoeboxes are available. Got some up here, and the information's up here. So we can start pulling our shoebox ministry together. And so just looking forward to seeing what God can do. There's many prayer requests that I'm sure is going on in hearts and lives this morning. I know they said Bob Stout's family, be in prayer for them. Karen's first cousin, Patsy Lowry. She's in her 50s, has custody of two small children. And she's been in the hospital with COVID. And we got word yesterday afternoon, kidney shut down, heart attack. And they called the family in yesterday afternoon. So Patsy, be in prayer for her. Continue to pray for Stephanie. She thanks the church for your prayers and your concerns. Stephanie Walters, as she is back home now from the hospital with COVID. Are there others that you'd like for us to pray for before we close? Matthew, Christy's brother. Anybody else want to mention? Healthcare workers. Yes. Cannot fathom. Yes, we do need to lift you guys up, all of our healthcare workers, and ask that God put a hedge of protection around them, giving them strength, wisdom. Yes, sir. Yeah. Jim, I think we discount all of our veterans that have served and gave their lives and suffered traumatic things going on in their lives for the freedom that we enjoy. We do need to pray for them. We need to pray for our school system. We need to pray for everyone that works at the school, the administrators, the teachers, the coaches, kitchen workers, the bus drivers. We need to pray for the students. We need to lift them up in prayer. Amen. Anybody else before we pray? Half brother passed away. Okay. Absolutely. Anybody else? Pray for Tim's mom. Okay. Let's join our hearts together. You've heard the prayers. And let's just begin to pray. You're going to have a moment of silence that you can just lift your prayer up. God hears you as well. And then, as we have a moment of silence, I want to ask you earnestly pray for these that's been mentioned, please. And Tim Nelson, would you care to close us in that prayer after we've had a moment?